This morning, as we open God's Word once again, I had a little bit of a struggle to exactly know how to continue what I wanted to do today because of the fact that back in November, I began with a challenge to each of us that I wanted this coming year of 2021 to be a year where we focus on the fact that we were going to be salt and light. That we recognize that when Jesus says that in Matthew, that he does not give us an option, that he says, you are salt and light. It is an expectation on his part of how those of us who have received the blessings that we just talked about would behave and respond to our community around us. That we would be, as Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians, that we would be the aroma of Christ, that we would smell like him to those who are around us. And I did that by suggesting that maybe what we should do is maybe we should be a Waffle House church. And I chose that particular restaurant for a reason. It began in 1955. The founders of this particular restaurant had a few principles in mind, that they were not in the food business, that they were in the people business. And because of that, they set up their restaurant, the layout of their restaurant on purpose. The kitchen is right there in front of you so that it's not hidden behind some door, so that people would know that they had no secrets. The menu is very simple. It's not complicated at all. That they're always open. As a matter of fact, I shared with you back in November that FEMA has what they call the Waffle House Index to determine the severity of a natural disaster depending upon how open and what services Waffle House could provide. That they always greeted everybody. If you'd been there more than twice, they called you by name. But everybody who walks into that door, they would say, hi, you're welcome. We're glad that you're here. Thank you for coming to the Waffle House. That if you looked into the parking lot, there would be motorcycles, and there would be pickup trucks with bass boats. There would be Mercedes. There would be El Caminos. It didn't matter what you drove. It didn't matter what part of town you came from. It didn't matter what you were or who you were or what your occupation was. It didn't matter at the Waffle House because everybody was welcome. And I was thinking about that, and I think that's what we as a church should be. Now, I recognize it's not possible, unfortunately, in the society in which we live in, to have our doors open all the time. But wouldn't it be nice if the world in which we live, the community that is surrounding this particular location, knew that we were people who were always open to them, that they were welcome to be here regardless of what they drove, regardless of their age, regardless of their gender, regardless of their religious background, faith or no faith, it didn't matter. There was nothing that we used to form any kind of distinctions, but everybody was welcome here. That our one goal was not to be in the church business, but to be in the people business. And I truly believe that if we could just grasp that concept, that it would be so much easier for us to be what we are called to be ambassadors. That it would be easier for us to smell like Jesus if this was the approach that we would take. That we could truly be salt and light in this community if we just let people know that we want you to be here and we want to be available for you. And if the storms of your life, however severe that they are, that this is a place that you think about. That this is a place that you can come. That they would want to be part of because they know that here is a place that we would welcome them, that we would love them. But I've come to the conclusion that maybe one of the reasons why we're not as effective as we should be is because maybe we should also be a culinary school. And the reason why I said that is because a culinary school and a restaurant are different. You see, for example, a restaurant is a place of preference that exists to meet my needs. For example, we go to a restaurant and we choose the table that we like. You drive to it, or you choose the restaurant you like, you drive to it. Someone seats you. You order what you're in the mood for. You eat it and sit in judgment. We get it right there. Here we go. And sit in judgment on it, and then you drive away from it. And I like what one writer said. It says, a restaurant is one of the best examples of a narcissistic approach to get what I want. I choose the one I want to go to. I choose what I want to eat. I choose to decide whether I want to complain about it or not. I choose to decide whether I want to refer somebody else to it. And you think, unfortunately, what I think happens so often is as much as we want the world to view the church as a restaurant, we as the church view ourselves as a restaurant. That this is a place where we get to choose what we want. We complain about not getting what we want. We're more concerned about getting and receiving what's best for me instead of what's best for you. But a culinary school is different. Because you see, at a culinary school is a place of perseverance where one becomes equipped to feed others. You see, the thing that God called us to do is for us to share, to continue the food analogy, this great feast of all the blessings that God has provided for us, a place where we desire to take what we have been blessed with and go out into the community and the world in which we live in and share it with others. Because you see, a culinary school, first of all, is a sacrifice. There's a sacrifice needed in order to attend because you're committed to a goal. Culinary school is not where you go if you have expendable income. I looked at the top 11 culinary schools in this country, and the tuition ranges anywhere between $13,000 and $35,000 per semester. Now, you can take a one-year course, and you're looking at anywhere between $25,000 and $60,000, or a four-year course could run you as much as $150,000. One culinary student says, culinary school is where you sell everything you have to move into a bad apartment with 9 other very poor people so that you can go to a place that teaches you how to cut and burn yourself. You graduate deep in debt, and you end up bussing tables at Hardee's. You see, in order to go to culinary school, you have to make the sacrifice that I am going to do something. I'm going to commit myself to it. And I wonder, brothers and sisters, if that's not how the church should be. That we should recognize the fact that when we come together here, we come together not only to celebrate a sacrifice, but also to remember that we, as beneficiaries of that sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, should also be willing to sacrifice. We don't get to choose what we want. I have found nowhere in Scripture where God says, Lyle, tell me what it is that you want to do in order to worship me. Lyle, you tell me what it is that you want to do in order for me to allow you into my presence eternally. I don't have that right. And I think God is more pleased with our worship and our time together when we set aside our personal preferences for what is best for the rest of us. What is best for us as a body so that the body of Christ here at Southeastern, the body of Christ here in this portion of Indianapolis, is better equipped to be able to go out and leave this place where we've been fed to go out and feed others. A sacrifice has to take place. It's not my will anymore. It's His will. It's not my agenda anymore. It's His agenda. It's not my purpose anymore. It's His purpose. And if He is the one who gets to choose whether I'm salt or light or not. It's He who gets to choose how I use the gifts and abilities that He's blessed us with. And it's me who makes the decision of sacrificing myself. So it's not about what's best for me, but what is best for each one of us. As we as a body of believers strive to do what's best for the community in which we live, who have not experienced the blessings of the sacrifice that God made on our behalf. A culinary school is also, you're in a community that shares your vision. Everybody who goes to culinary school has a desire to be the best chef. We want to be the next recipient of a Michelin star. We want to be named the James Beard Best Pastry Chef or Sous Chef or whatever it is. That we go with a common purpose of being the best that we can be. To be the top in our field. We share the same drive and the same intention of learning the skills necessary in order to be the best in our environment. And brothers and sisters, is that not also true of us as Christians? That this should be a place where we share a common vision, This should be a place where it is so evident that each one of us have been with Jesus, that the world will look at us, as they said to the disciples, that they have been with Jesus because they smell like him. That should be our common purpose and our common vision. Yes, we come together here to encourage each other. I understand the importance of that. But we should be encouraged here so that we could be encouraged not just to feed ourselves, but our common vision is so that we could go and feed those who live around us with the good news of Jesus. As I shared with you back in December, the latter part of November, I find it interesting that when Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 talks about the fact that we are salt and light, he says, and if it loses its saltiness, it's not worth anything to be thrown out on the road and trampled underfoot. Oftentimes when we talk about being salt and light, we talk about the fact that salt has so many properties. One, that salt is a curing agent. It preserves food. And that people for centuries have been using salt to preserve meat so that it would last much longer. That salt has a healing power to it. And those are all true, and those are all things that we should be about as we're being salt in this community, that we should be a preserving agent to preserve life, and particularly life eternal, that we should be a healing as we are like a Waffle House and we're a place where people come in the time of a storm. But Jesus doesn't say if you lose your healing power. Jesus doesn't say if you lose your preserving ability. Jesus, if you lose your saltiness, your ability to make a difference in the lives of people, to bring them flavor, to bring them peace in the midst of chaos, to bring them joy in the midst of hardship, to bring them a sense of contentment and a sense of dissatisfaction. That's what it means to be salt. And that should be our common purpose, our common goal, our common desire, is that the Southeastern Church of Christ, no, the body of Christ, would be a place where people know that God loves them and we love them. And we want them to know the love of God, because it is our desire that we spend eternity in the presence of God together. A culinary school, you are equipped with skills, tools, and knowledge needed in order to succeed. I have a little bit of experience with that. As you most of you know, I graduated from high school in Canada. And for 1 year, I went to a big public high school in the city of Edmonton. Now, in Canada, you can graduate from high school three different ways. You can graduate with a diploma, which says you are a high school graduate. Now, if you wanted to go to university, you had to graduate with what they call matriculation, which means you had to take, I think it was two extra sciences, an extra English class, and a social studies class. And if I'm not mistaken, we had to have a foreign language. But that's what you had to do in order to go to college. Or you could get a certificate. One out of eight, every high school in the major cities of Canada had to be a vocational high school. And for 9 hours a week for 3 years, you could take automotive repair, you could take auto body, you could take welding, you could take culinary arts. And what the purpose of that was is after 3 years of 9 hours a week of taking these trade skills, then you could graduate with a certificate and put you on your way to becoming a journeyman in any one of these trades. What's the beautiful thing about that is it gave you an opportunity for 3 years to pay for nothing for it, to determine if you really wanted to be an electrician and not wait till after you got out of school and tried for a couple of years when you had a family to support and decided that wasn't my trade. And so for 1 year, I got to take a culinary arts class. It was not home ec. We had term papers. We had research projects. We had tests. We had to learn different table settings. We had to learn different pots, what to use here and what spice would work here and how to use this knife and how we were equipped to be able to prepare a meal. We were taught in school how to use all that we had been instructed so that we could leave that school and go into the world and use those skills that we've learned and practiced and honed in order to serve, in this particular case, food to those who would eat it. And that's exactly what the church is like. That's exactly what God had in mind, that we are to gather together here so that we can gain the ability, understand the truths, be equipped furnished and encouraged to leave here and go feed out there. For example, that's exactly what Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, as Christ distributed it, as Christ freely gave it. Christ chooses to proportion his gift. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe. Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Paul is telling the church in Ephesus and telling us that God himself, through Jesus Christ, has determined to give a gift to us, his bride. And he wanted to give us the very best. And there's a reason why he gave us that. It's because he wanted us to take that gift of his son Jesus and the knowledge of what Jesus has provided for us and equip us, he says, equip his people, he says, for works of service. That God has, as culinary school teaches those to use the skills and the talents and the gifts and the abilities that they have learned and some of them have brought with them just as a natural gift and ability to be able to use those to serve other people. Brothers and sisters, we have been equipped as God's people to be a blessing to this world. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 20, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, I want you to be so prepared that I am going to equip you for everything good that you need to accomplish my will for you. What is his will as the God of peace? That we become salt and light. That we become ambassadors. That we become representatives of Jesus. That we smell like Jesus. That is his will. And God says through the author of Hebrews, I have equipped you to do that. I've given you everything you need in order to accomplish that. I have seasoned your life with the flavor of Christ, so that you can season the lives of others with that same fragrance. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The author of Hebrews is addressing a concern that people have stopped gathering together. And what he's saying here is the reason why I want you to gather together is I want you, when you're together, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to support each other, and let each other know that we're here for each other. We're in this together. Yes, the church that he's writing to most likely is a group of Jewish Christians who, because of persecution and hardship, are thinking about walking away from their faith in Jesus Christ and going back to Judaism. He says, don't do that. But instead, I want you to get together and I want you to encourage each other in the midst of the persecution that you may be experiencing. But here's what I want you to encourage each other to do: to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We should stop. No, let's not say stop, but we should not give as much focus on encouraging people to come to church, but at least equally stress that when you come to church, do so to encourage. To encourage each other, yes, but also to encourage each other to leave this place because we've been fed and go out there and feed others. I think that's what God is preparing us for. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited, rather as servants. And it's interesting that word servant is the same word that the Greeks would use to describe someone who waited upon them in a restaurant, a waiter or a waitress. That's the same word that he uses here. Rather, as waiters and waitresses of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distress, beatings, imprisonments, riots, in hard work and sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, and truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report, good report, genuine, yet regarded as imposters, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, and notice this, yet making others rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. One of the things that I enjoyed most about my year of culinary school was the fact that it did teach me which pan to use depending on what application I was doing, and how to use a knife, and which knife I was supposed to, was the best to use for a particular situation, and making sure that I had the right pot in one hand and the right knife in the other hand. And the analogy that Paul is using here is, brothers and sisters, God has equipped you that you've got exactly what you need in both hands in order to, even though we're poor, to make others rich. I came across a quote that I really like. And the quote is this: the world awaits. It awaits the flavor and seasoning and the freshness that can only come when we step into God's mission. It awaits the beauty and the warm relationships that happen when we do our part and dish up a big steaming bowl of the goodness of God in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs. We need to learn to cook right so that we can go and feed a world. The purpose of the church is to prepare us. The purpose of our assembling is to prepare us and to equip us and to instruct us so that even though we're poor, we may help them be rich. That we can take what God has equipped us with to do the good deeds that he prepared in advance for us to do. Paul would say earlier in the book of Ephesians, that's what he's called us to do. And when we can present to the world that we are a restaurant here to serve you, and we can view ourselves as a culinary school where we're prepared with a common focus and a sacrificial attitude, and realizing that we have been equipped to make a difference in this world, then I think we'll be the salt and light that God says we are. That we'll be able to be the aroma of Christ that provides a fragrant offering and a fragrance to the world. of the goodness of Jesus Christ. You may have seen it. I've seen it in several auditoriums, in churches around the country, around the world, a sign oftentimes posted above the door as you exit the auditorium, and the sign says, "Enter to worship, leave to serve." I don't necessarily totally agree with that sign, because I truly believe that even as we leave this place, that we take our worship with us. As we leave this place and serve, we are still worshiping the God of heaven. I think that's what Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, that God remembers our acts of service and our demonstration of our love to Him as we continue to serve other people. But I do like this sentiment. We come here to be encouraged and to encourage each other to love and good deeds, and then we leave here to serve the world in which we live. We need to be with those who have said, "I've burnt myself on some things of this world. I've cut myself deeply because of the things of this world," and we need to be a place where healing takes place. And this morning, those of you who are listening to my voice and seeing my face on a screen, I want you to know that what our prayer is that this is a place that maybe today you've recognized the fact that I need to know that there's a group of people that love me and will pray for me, because I have for too long eaten at the wrong table, the table of Satan. Maybe there are some here this morning who say, "I now know what is necessary for me to do in order to become a child of God and to experience the blessings of the sacrifice of Jesus, and I know that I need to be baptized." And let us know, call us, email us, text us, respond to the message that you're seeing, and let us know that that's a desire, or that you just want to know more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and we're more than happy to explain that to you. But my prayer is that if you're listening to my voice this morning, that you've heard God's words, and that if you are looking for a place that is welcoming to you, that you will find us to be a restaurant. And to those of us who have been blessed by the goodness and mercy of God, that we'll commit ourselves to be a culinary school, a people with a common vision, sacrificially deciding that we are going to set our will aside and that we're going to serve up a big steaming bowl of goodness to the world that's around us. Would you join me as we pray together? Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be to spend time in your word. And I pray that the things that I have shared this morning, Father, are words that you wanted your people to hear. And I pray, Father, that you would guide this place, that each of us, Father, will commit ourselves to fulfilling in any way that we can, to use what you've equipped us with in any way that we can, to serve the community that's around us, to let them know that God loves them, His Son died for them, to provide for them forgiveness, and His Spirit will indwell them to recreate them in your image. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of things by way of announcement. We have several that we need to be praying for of this congregation. If you have seen our online bulletin that have come down with COVID, we need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for this nation. And just one thing as an announcement, beginning the first Sunday in February, we will begin the first Sunday, starting in February, and the first Sunday of every month for a period of time. We'll be doing a series of lessons on marriage and family and parenting. And I encourage you to use this to invite your friends to a situation where maybe it is something that would be as less fearful for them. And use this as an opportunity to reach out into our community and to talk about some things that the Bible has to say about marriage and families. And I encourage you to do that. So thankful for you joining us this morning. Thank you for David and for Bill for making this live stream possible. We pray that you have a blessed day, and may the God of peace be so active in your life that you know the peace of God. And that's our prayer for you this morning. Thank you for joining us.